Daniel in your Bibles in chapter number 1 tonight. Daniel chapter number 1 again. If the Lord lets me preach on through the book of Daniel, I've thought of a kind of a topic to the book that I'd like to, and the outlines that we'll make from it, as well as the tapes. And I think that I'd like to entitle my study, Daniel in Application. Not so much Daniel's interpretation of everything, but Daniel in Application. You know, I found out a long time ago that interpretation of the Bible doesn't get you in a great deal of trouble. But when you start making application in people's lives, that's where a lot of folks draw the line, and that's when we get in trouble. I heard Brother Noah, I've got it written down in my old 179X Schofield in there, that preaching consists of basically three elements: interpretation, illustration, and application. And that's true. There's got to be an interpreting of the Scriptures, and illustration to let in light, and then applying it to our life and as we live presently for the Lord. So Daniel chapter number 1, and I'm only going to read one verse tonight because that's where my thought is drawn from. In verse number 21, the Bible says, "And Daniel continued even unto the first year of the king of Cyrus." Now, to the year of King Cyrus. Now may God add His blessing to that portion of the reading of the Word of God. Heavenly Father, we thank You for the privilege of being in the house of God this day. I find in the Bible, Lord, that You put a great emphasis on the house of God. And David said he was glad when they said unto him, "Let us go into the house of the Lord." And so I am thankful to be here tonight. I thank You, Lord, for the bodily strength that You've given for me to make my way to church. And Lord, for the privilege to sing, for the privilege of fellowship, not only with You, but Lord, with Your people. I want to thank You tonight, Lord, for the privilege of preaching the Word of God. Now, I pray that You'd touch me and provide the power, Lord, spiritually that I need, the unction that I need, the oil that I need to preach. And then I pray, oh God, that You'd help my body physically, my voice and so forth, that You'd strengthen the vocal cords, and God, You'd help me in my body to stand tonight and declare the Word of God. And then may You open the hearts of our people, and God, do a great work there that will bring honor and glory to Your name. And Lord, even give them direction and leadership for their life. Give them understanding in their life and what God expects of them. And we'll thank You, Lord, for every sinner that You save and for every heart and life that You help. For we ask it in the lovely name of our Lord Jesus, and for His sake, amen and amen. Thank You. And you may be seated. I want to read again verse number 21. Well, the Bible said, "And Daniel continued even unto the first year of King Cyrus." Now, I want to try to preach tonight a little while, if God will help me, on the thought of continuing in the will of God. I want to say that even as a layman or a lay person, just as a Christian, it is imperative that you find the will of God for your life, whatever it may be, and continue in God's will. I do believe that God's got a will for each and every one of us to follow. I believe He's got the right mate that He wants us to marry. I believe He's got the right job, the exact job and place that God wants us to work. I believe that He's got the church that He wants us to worship in, and that He has got a place in that body of the church for us to labor in to bring glory and honor to His wonderful name. And I'll say this, that folks, when they get out of the will of God, they're going to have to come right back to where they were and where they got out as they get back in. And they'll have to come back there to start all over. You know, I've seen a whole lot of preachers, I'm satisfied of this, that have left a ministry because it got tight or tough or difficult on them. Maybe it got dry. Maybe it got dead. Didn't seem like much was going on. And they've left that ministry only to find themselves in a worse shape than they were before they left. The old proverbial saying, some of them have jumped out of the frying pan and landed right smack dab in the fire. And the grass, by the way, is not always greener on the other side. There's a lot of folks got the idea that the grass is greener somewhere down the road. But you're not going to escape from the trials of life, and you're not going to escape from the devil. That sorry rascal is everywhere that we go, there to tempt us and to aggravate us and to frustrate us and to worry us, and if it possibly can, lead us astray, get us out of the will of God. Now, I want to say that you can only do what God wants you to do in the will of God. I heard Jack Hiles preach years ago on a tape, and he said it does not matter where, but it's the what that makes the difference. In other words, it just matters what we're doing in the Bible, and we can do that anywhere we please. I want to say, my friend, there's only one thing wrong with that. It's untrue. I've only got one place tonight I can serve God as of right now, and that's Island Ford Baptist Church. I couldn't be effective anywhere else. I might be able to do some things in that Bible, but I certainly, my friend, could not accomplish what God wants me to accomplish in the ministry. Now, the Bible says, if you notice our text, the Bible says that Daniel continued. Daniel just continued. That is, he continued doing what he was doing. He never altered one bit from it. He never went to the right hand nor to the left. But Daniel just continued doing what Daniel was doing. Now, that word continued means to come to pass or to be accomplished. And so David found himself in the will of God for his life and was yielded to the perfect accomplishment that God had for him. He simply continued doing what God called him to do, and where the Lord called him to do it, he perfectly fulfilled God's purpose in his life. I want to say, my friend, that God has got a purpose for your life. He did not save you for no reason at all. I'm glad that we are all servants of the Most High God. If he saved us, he saved us to serve. If he called us out of Egypt, he called us out to serve. And there is a particular place and purpose that God has for you. I want to say there is no greater joy, no greater blessing, no greater happiness than to find the will of God and continue in that will, doing the purpose of God in your life. I want to say, friend, without a doubt, when I turned eastward in December of 1987, I found the perfect will of God for my life. It's like Brother Sammy Allen said, and praise God, I've been in the perfect will of God ever since. Right here preaching the gospel. I know folks have thought differently. Some thought differently enough that they tried to run me off. But by the grace and the power of God, I'm still here. Those men tried to have Daniel, my friend, killed also, those presidents and princes. But even in the will of God, the lions had to lay down at the feet of Daniel. I want to say, my friend, that God will make our very enemies at peace with us if we're in the will of God. I'm telling you, we're invincible. We are invincible as long as we're in the will of God. The devil can't harm you. He might growl. Oh, the devil can't move you. He might try. The devil, my friend, can't stop you, although he'll try. Us Christians of God in the will of God are invincible, my friend, as long as we're accomplishing what God has called us to do in his service. Now, I know that's right. Now, the Lord's will, stay with me. Now, the Lord's will is not some mysterious thing that he hides from a person and causes us to become frustrated in seeking for it. I've heard a lot of people say, well, I'm trying to find the will of God for my life. And in trying to find the will of God, they've grown terribly frustrated in doing that. And 99% of the time, they were right smack in the will of God when they were trying to find the will of God. Friend, I'm telling you, God does not hide His will. It's not something so deep and mysterious that a Christian cannot find it. But I'm telling you, we've got the Bible and we've got the Holy Ghost. And just like that Holy Ghost, that pillar of fire and that cloudy pillar led to Israel, my friend, through the wilderness, God Almighty will lead you and I along in the perfect will of God. He does not hide that will from us, but He'll make it known and reveal it that we might enjoy the richest blessing of God in our life. I know that is right. Amen to God. But I tell you, it's something that is made very obvious. And I guarantee you, it brings the greatest joy to our life and the richest of God's blessings upon us. In the will of God. I'm telling you, I believe that men have been in the will of God and full of joy in prison. That's right, some of our forefathers landed in prison for their faith. I believe it was the will of God they were there. Somebody said, Brother Hall, you must be a fool. Do you not believe it was God's will for Paul and Silas when they carried them off down into that Philippian jail, and at midnight they began to pray and sing praises unto our God? And the Bible said, my friend, that every prison door in that prison swung open wide. Even the jailer that was there come running into Paul and Silas and desired of them how that he might become a Christian. And by the grace of God, he was saved, him and his whole house, and was baptized. Oh yes, sometimes, even in the difficult hour, in the dark moment when we think that we're far from what God wants us to do, we're right smack dab in the middle of the will of God, where we can be used of God to be a blessing to those around us and bring glory to His wonderful name. Amen and amen. Now, old Daniel found the will of God, hear me now, by providence. He did not ask to be carried to Babylon, but once there, he could do nothing to reverse the situation. Would you not agree with that? He didn't ask to be carried off into Babylon. I'm sure he had rather been in Jerusalem. I'm sure he had rather been in his own country. But King Nebuchadnezzar carried him into Babylon. Now I'm telling you, friend, he had to come to the conclusion that it was by the providence of God. I'm sure that Joseph did not enjoy the pit. Neither did he enjoy the prison house, but we'd have to say that it was by the providence of God that Joseph, my friend, went down into the land of Egypt in the perfect will of God that he might preserve his brethren. I'm here to tell you, friend, sometimes when things are dark and bleak and we think that we're doing the least for God, we're right smack dab in the middle of God's will. God is a preparing us and a working on us and getting us ready to be a blessing to somebody else. And so it was a providence of God that carried him into Babylon. Once he was there, he could not reverse the situation. Now I believe that is often the will of God, that the will of God may be somewhat unpleasant, and in seeking something easier, we find ourselves out of the will of God and in trouble. That's right. We want that load off of us. And in trying to get that load off of us, we'll find ourselves outside the will of God and in trouble. Must Jesus bear the cross alone and all the world go free? No, sir, my friend, there's a cross for everyone. And there's a cross for me. And it just happened to be in Daniel's life, down yonder in Babylon. But I'll remind you that God, in His providence, exalted that little old Jewish boy, my friend, to a glorious position in the palace of Nebuchadnezzar. And God used him, my friend, to give light and direction to a king in his day. Yes, sir. You never know what God's going to do for you. Don't get bent out of joint and worried, discouraged about what's going on. Hang in there with God. Don't kick out. A lot of times you kick out. Hey, if providence brought you where you're at, stay there. If Providence brought you to Island Ford Baptist Church, you better anchor your soul and bloom where you and blossom where you've been planted, friend. Amen. Don't try to be a transplant. They die a whole lot. Amen. If God's got you planted somewhere, you better anchor there and make by the grace of God that you're going to do what God wants you to do in that place. Blossom for Him. Now, old Daniel, finding himself in this situation, did exactly what Paul instructs you and I to do today. Somebody said, now, Brother Hall, if I'm in a difficult situation, how can I know that I'm in the will of God? I'm going to tell you something. Amen to God. It's been kind of dry around here, difficult, and I've wondered, Lord, maybe the church would go on better with another man. Maybe you're done, and I'm a looking and a searching, but I'm going to tell you one sure way that you can find out, and you can know, and I can know. Daniel, when that unpleasant situation, living in a strange land, did exactly, my friend, what Paul has told you and I to do. He simply presented his body a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, that he might prove what is that good and perfect and acceptable will of God there. If you want to know if you're in the right place doing the right thing, lay all on the altar and give it all to God. Just give it all to God and prove. I didn't say find out, but prove what is that acceptable and good and perfect will of God for your life. Amen to God. Amen. Now, there's a couple of biblical truths that we know are God's will for each and every one of us. I want to say we know it's God's will for us to be saved. Without a shadow of a doubt. Paul Peter said in 2 Peter 3:9, the Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Son, I know that's the will of God. I don't have to wonder about God wanting sinners to be saved. I don't have to wonder whether they're in the elect. I don't have to wonder, my friend, if God would save them if they'd come to Him. I'm telling you, He is able to save unto the uttermost all that'll come unto God by Him. And friend, God, it is the will of God. God is not willing that any should perish, but God is willing that all should come to repentance and be saved. Somebody said, Brother Hall, how do I know God wants me to witness to that man? Witness to him and let God worry about the rest of it. Somebody said, how will I, sir? What will I know to say to him? Tell him Jesus died and rose from the grave and that he saved your never dying soul. Just tell a sinner what God has done in your life. I want to say secondly, I'm trying to hurry for the sake of what's going to take place tonight. I want to say secondly, it's God's will that we be sanctified. The Bible said in 1 Thessalonians 4:3, for this is the will of God, even your sanctification. I don't have to worry about it being God's will for me to dress right. I don't have to worry about it being God's will for my wife to put on the right kind of apparel. I don't have to worry about it being God's will for my wife, my friend, to have the hairstyle that she's got. Penny, I've never seen anything like these women today. Amen! I'm going to tell you, I'd hate to be married to one and roll over in the bed and kind of touch her head with my hand. I'd think I was in bed with another man if some of them was there. Amen to God. That's right. We don't have to worry, my friend, about it being God's will for us to live a sanctified life. It is in the Bible where a woman's hair is her glory. We ought to dress that which becometh the saints of God. We ought to have long flowing apparel if we're a woman. And we ought to cover up our belly and our legs and our arms. Bless the Lord in our bare chested. If we're a man, we ought to cover up that mess. Get our hair cut. I'm going to tell you something. You can like this, lump it or dump it. But I'm telling you, more and more I'm seeing these young boys in churches peeling their heads look like Mr. Clean. Now I'm telling you, son, it's just as much a sin for a man to shave his stupid head than it is to grow hair down on your shoulder. Somebody said, why, Brother Hall? Because it's a worldly fan that's been brought in by the world, my friend, and it's just as sinful to shave your head as it is to let her grow long if you're a man. I seen one down there at Brother Allen's. Saw him on one day, and he come in. He had decent hair, and I saw him on Friday night. I said, is that boy? Son, he looked like Mr. Clean. Looked like he had dipped his hair in the possum fat. I mean, it shined, as my daddy said, like a pewter dollar in a mud hole. I believe you could about shaved in his head, son. It was that slick and that shiny. I never seen anything like it. I looked, and there sat another one over there. Now, there they was, two buddies. And I'd seen the one the day before. The one got his, so the buddy said, well, if he got his, I'll get mine. I'm going to tell you what it is. It's a fad, and men see somebody else do it, and they'll want to try it likewise. Now, I'm telling you, friend, that's just that sinful to peel and shave your head as it is for a man to let his hair grow long. That's right. You see my hair? It has been this way, sir, ma'am, since I was old enough to comb my hair. I am 55, soon be 56 years old. And for except one time when my cousin shaved my head when I was a little boy and couldn't stop it, you're looking at my hairstyle. But amen. Praise God, I'm not a joiner fads wearing their bunny pads on the back of my neck. No, sir, growing little old chinny chin whiskers look like a billy goat gruff. No! Son, I'm telling you, it's worldly fads and it's wrong. I won't charge you nothing for that. And I'm going to tell you why a lot of people can't find it. They get light and won't walk in that light. God explains to them how they ought to live to be sanctified. God, this is the will of God for you. Even your sanctification. And he goes on to say that every man should abstain from fornication, that you ought to know how to possess your vessel in sanctification and honor. And son, this is the vessel that God's talking about. God wants us not only, my friend, to claim to be a Christian. He wants us to talk like a Christian, act like a Christian, and look like a Christian in our life. Somebody say amen. Amen to God. So I know those two things are God's will. Now, we're saved, we're sanctified. How can we continue? The Bible said in Daniel, just continued. He never altered. He never detoured to the right hand nor to the left. I take that to mean that he continued doing what he was doing to the second year of Cyrus. Never tried to change. Never tried to change it at all. How can we, continue in the will of God? Have you got your Bibles tonight? I hope so. Let's look in Romans, if you would, chapter number 6. Romans and chapter number 6. I want to say the first thing, and I've only got two major points now, so I won't be long. I want to say the first thing that we're going to have to do if we continue in the will of God. Number one is to reckon ourselves dead unto sin. I said, reckon ourselves dead unto sin. Somebody said, where do you get that? Let's read verses 10 and 11. For in that he died, talking about Jesus. For in that he died unto sin once. Did you get that? He died unto sin once. But in that he liveth unto God. Verse 11, likewise reckon ye yourselves also, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. My friend, I'm going to tell you, the first way to continue is to reckon yourself to be dead from that sin. And that word reckon simply means to take inventory. It means to estimate. It means to conclude. And if I know anything about what the Bible is saying, he's saying that we must come to the conclusion that we are saved and there is no more pleasure in sin for us. And we intend to live the rest of our life to the glories of God. I want to say, my friend, as long as you find pleasure in your sin, you will never find the will of God for your life. For there are no pleasures in sin for a child of God. Somebody said, oh, Brother Hall, the Bible said in Hebrews that there were pleasures in sin for a season. Yes, but that's a lost man, my friend. I'm telling you, there is no pleasure in sin for a child of God. If we can hobnob, listen to rock music, pump our feet, my friend, the country and western, and listen to that garbage, hide and drink our booze, amen to God, go to ball games and that mess, mark us down, my friend. We are not saved by the grace of God. No, sir. You've got to reckon yourself dead unto sin. You've got to come to the conclusion that there's no pleasure in it, and that you're going to live the rest of your life to the glory of God. I'm going to tell you what's wrong with Baptists. They want to straddle the fence, son, and if you straddle it long enough, you're going to get splinters in your britches. Amen. If it's barbed wire, you're really in trouble. Huh? Find yourself in a big hurt. Amen to God. But he said, reckon ye yourselves also dead. That word dead means a corpse. You've just got to reckon yourself to be a corpse around. I'm getting ready to bring this together. Hang with me. That word indeed, reckon yourselves dead indeed. Did you get that? Indeed, unto sin means an affirmation or a confession. Now please note now with me the word unto. That word unto, it gives the idea of motion or movement. Motion or movement. Reckon yourself dead unto sin. That is, you're not moving towards sin. I'm here to tell you, friend, there's a lot of people that can't stay away from it. It's like a magnet that draws them into every old sinful nook and cranny. I'm talking about even men and women with all this foolish jesting and joke telling and nasty joke telling. All that mess. These men that just can't stay away from those little potty words and those little jokes, my friend, that are a slight bit vulgar and ungodly and nasty and ought to be uttered. I'm telling you, we ought not to be moved in the direction of that stuff, but we ought to stay away from it and treat it like it's a plague, for we'll never find the will of God for our life as long as we're hobnobbing in that sin. Amen, amen to God. Amen. I know that's right. We've got to come to the conclusion that the verse is this, that we are to make no movement whatever towards sin. Notice the word alive unto God. And I'm trying to hurry. That word means to be quick. Alive. Quick. He's going to judge the quick and the dead. He's going to judge those that are alive and those that are dead. So here it is now. There is to be no motion towards sin, but we are to move quickly toward God. Now, oh yes, and here's the problem. When we fail to shun sin and fail to seek God at the same time, there can be no way to prove what is the will of God in our life. That's why we struggle with decisions to make on jobs. That's why we just struggle with decisions about where to live, where to go to church, and what to do. But that we're moving towards sin and away from God, we're going in the wrong direction. Amen. That's right. If you don't think you can get troubled and get out of the will of God, now I don't say this to embarrass them. I don't think they've tried. Go over and ask Jerry and Norma Frazier. If you can't move and get out of the will of God. I'm talking about moving 35 miles, neighbor, and getting out of the will of God. Come on in the house, folk. I won't say we ought to shun sin. Shun sin. Remember Joseph? When that woman said, come lie with me. Come lie with me. You'd be surprised. I heard there's a preacher preaching up at Brother Don Anderson's, and he
said something about little girls or this or that, or the way women look at him or something. Another preacher got up behind him and said, I'm going to tell you something. Said, hey, said women are not really as much in love with some of you men as what you think they are. Huh? Come on in the house, folk. I'm going to tell you, we ought to shine that mess. And brethren, look at me, men. Son, I'm telling you, the way that women dress and live today, we better make sure that we learn by the grace of God to turn our head in the other direction and not to try to take that second and third look, or we'll find ourselves in trouble. There's a woman got me, and Miss Hall went up to the Lowe's yesterday evening. And here come a woman walking up the aisle. I just turned and walked in the other direction. Son, I'm talking about a little old tight thing on her top, and her top part of her body all protruded. I never in my life walked outside and started walking toward the car, and there come another wearing a white tank top and not a thing on under it. And, buddy, it was almost transparent, and you could see. I just had to say, oh, yes, I'm here to tell you, buddy, we better learn to run, to shun and run from that kind of stuff. We'll find ourselves in a heap of trouble. Amen. That goes for women, too. You women like to look at their bony knees and them old varicose veins and things. Old pot guts, ugly old bellies are hanging out. Well, look at him. Isn't he a darling? Yeah, he looks like a Goodyear blimp upside down. Amen. I want you to notice these scriptures and see if you see the point I'm making. Proverbs 6:16-19. These six things doth the Lord hate. Yea, seven are an abomination unto Him. A proud look. Like one of them boys sitting down at the camp. Hey, some folks got so much pride about them, if they got outside in a thunderstorm, they'd drown, son, before they'd get in the building. They think that they have absolutely no toe jam between their toes, nor no grit under their toenails. They have arrived. Oh, I'm telling you, buddy, we got that kind of society today. We've learned to drive new automobiles, and we got little money in the bank, and we're able to drink a cold Pepsi when we want and do this and do that. And hey, and don't realize that all this myth of worldly possessions has done nothing for us, my friend, but to swell us up in our minds. And I'm telling you, to pump us up is no more than pride. And God said a proud look. A proud look is an abomination to God. Proud look. Said seven are of them, a proud look, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that deviseth wicked imaginations, get this, and feet that are swift to run into mischief. Can't wait to get there. Got to run as fast as I can. Run, run, run as fast as you can. You can't catch me, I'm a gingerbread man. And son, I'm going to run to it. I'm going to get there. Amen. I can't wait to get home tonight, preacher. See my number one movie on the television set. How many folks are going to be killed while you're watching it? How many kids are going to get shot? How much sex are you going to see? How much violence are you going to see on it? And we can't wait. You're there as idiots, my friend, that will honestly to God take that mess so they can watch it when they get home from doing whatever else they want to do. God help us. Amen. Swift to run to mischief. A false witness that speaketh lies. And he that soweth discord among the brethren. You want the will of God? Shun that mess. Run from it. And then not only run from it, but remember in our text, seek the Lord. Psalm 27, verse 8, the Bible said, when thou saidest, seek ye my face, my heart said unto thee, thy face, Lord, will I seek. And it ain't going to do us no good. Hey, the monks held up in monasteries and shunned sin, but they wasn't looking for God. You can shun sin without seeking God and wind up just as miserable. That's what you are out yonder in the world. I'm going to tell you, there's one thing we need to do at Island Ford Baptist Church, is to get after God. We better find God. I'm telling you, we better look. We better see. And notice it was in his heart. The Lord said, seek my face. And he said, my heart said, I will, Lord. In my heart, I've got a heart for God. My heart, I pant after God. I thirst after God. My soul longs after God. I yearn after God. I hunger and thirst after You, Lord. And it's from the heart. It's not just a fleshly thing that we talk about with our lips. Oh, no, sir. It's something down in our soul. And I'm going to tell you what it is. I believe it's the Holy Ghost that's down there bearing witness with our witness and appointing us to Almighty God that we might seek His face. Amen. And I want to say thirdly, we must stand in grace. Woo! Hallelujah to God. Amen. The Bible said in Romans 5:2, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand. Standing in grace. Standing in favor. And I say this, and I say this in love. That problem, that man that committed suicide last week, I'm going to tell you what, friend, he just failed to appropriate the grace of God in his life. God said, I'll not put more on you than what you're able to bear. And He's faithful. He will not. God cannot lie. He will not put more on a man than what he's able to bear. God will, with that temptation, make a way of escape. But the reason we can't find that way of escape, we're not looking for God. We're trying to find a way out on our own. And we'll never find it until we find God. Thank God, and you'll have your way out. I'm trying to preach hard, but in my soul, I don't know what God's doing in your heart, but God's in my soul. And I'm telling you, friend, if we'll find God, we'll find a way out of the mess that we're in. He'll lead us out with tender hands and a loving heart. God will lead us out. He'll not put more on us than we can bear, friend. He'll make a way of escape for us. We can stand in the grace of God. And while we're doing it, we can rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. You know what that word stand means? Just to abide or continue. Just continue in the grace of God. Just abide there. Thanks be unto God for grace. Hall's a grace preacher. He's a Calvinist. Sticks and stones may break my bones, but names will never hurt me. Hallelujah to God. Yes, I'm a grace man. I make no bones about it. Thank God. Saved by grace. Living by grace. Standing in grace. Loving grace. Abounding grace. Abiding grace. More grace. Humiliating grace. Thank God for grace. Amen. I want to say secondly in the primary points. We're going to have to reckon ourselves dead to sin. And secondly, if you're going to continue in the will of God, you're going to have to run the race that God set before you. You've got to run. Are you running? Are you running the race? You know where I'm going. Hebrews 12, verses 1 and 2. I won't be much longer, I promise you. Hebrews 12. Verses 1 and 2. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. I want to ask you something tonight. Are you really in the race? And if you are you running it? He didn't say sitting down. And He didn't say walking. He said run the race. And run it with patience, my friend. Just take your time and set your pace. Just keep on jogging. Keep on moving. Son, I learned a long time ago, if a man can just move at enough pace to put one foot in front of the other, he'll make it. I'm going to tell you the problem that I see. A lot of folks are like that seed that was sown on stony ground and anon. It springs up real fast with great joy, and after a while the sun just scorches and it withers away. You know what I see? That anon, they just shot up there quickly. They tried to get in there and sprint. And I'm going to tell you what they done in sprinting. After a while, that sprint race run out, and the hare had to sit down. And here come Mr. Turtle. Plugging on. He's not talking about a sprint runner. Plug on! Plug in, hallelujah to God, and plug on with God. Runner with patience, men. Take your time about it.
Take your time and watch out for the snares. Watch out for the pits. Watch out for the devil. Watch out for false prophets. Watch out for booby traps. Watch out for gooks. I said that one night in here preaching was live on the radio, and so help me, a man called me at home and that night when I got home and said, "You the guy that's preaching down there tonight?" I said, "Yes, sir." He said, "You used a word I didn't like." I said, "Well, I apologize." He said, "You used the word gooks." I said, "Well, sir." I said, "That's just what we call folks in Vietnam, and it just comes to mind." So I said, he said, "Yeah. And I bet you the kind of guy that probably use the N-word." I said, if I wanted to use whatever I wanted to use, it wouldn't be none of your business. It done ticked me off. And my patience in running was gone. Are you listening? Who won that race between the tortoise and the hare, ladies and gentlemen? The little old turtle just kept on inching along. There's times, I bet the old rabbit just laid up there and laughed at him. "You old, better hurry, you ain't going to make it." But the hare got tired. And laid down and went to sleep. And while he was asleep, that old turtle crossed the finish line. Are you listening to me? That's what's going to happen to a lot of these sprint runners. Buddy, I've seen them. I've seen some come out of Sturgis, Miss Norma, running 90 miles an hour, buddy, out of the gate, and now they ain't doing nothing. I come out of moving slow, Brother Mark. My first message I preached, I made an absolute fool of myself. Don't do much better sometimes these days, but I come out running pretty slow. But I just kept plugging along. Plugging along. Plugging along. And every now and then now, he will let me plug in. Plug up, do a little preacher. Amen to God. Now look here, in running this race, there's four things very quickly, and we're going to the house. He said, "Seeing, wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses." Everybody look right up here at me. Where are witnesses at? I mean, where are clouds at? They're above us. That cloud of witnesses, I believe, are those who have preceded us. And they are a witness. Now, get somebody said, how are they a witness? If you believe that Bible in Hebrews 11, you've got to agree to the fact they made it! I'll never forget Harold Sotler preaching at Greer Baptist camp meeting one night, and he was preaching on who is the Holy Spirit. And then he made application with Rachel and Eliezer, the servant of Abraham, going down and getting Rachel for Isaac. And old Doc Sotler backed off and he said, "She made it! She made it! And because she made it, you and I are going to make it also." And why? Because the Holy Ghost will see that we are alive. Yeah. And he said, "I feel the glory of God in my soul." Yeah. Hallelujah. I'm telling you, we've got some witnesses, friend, in Hebrews 11 that made it. Yeah. And they testified to the fact, and God pinned it down. Do we believe the Bible? Some of them were sawn asunder. Ran through with fiery darts and swords. But they made it. Some of them, my friend, fought long, hard battles, but they made it. We got the idea that we can be a Christian because it's in modern day society and we're not living in the Bible days, that we'll make it without the persecution. But you'll not make it no other way. They had a cloud of witnesses. I want to say secondly, he said, run that race. They not only had a cloud of witnesses, but they had a course to follow. They had a course to follow. Hey, there ain't a race ever been run that doesn't have its distinct boundaries. Every race I ever run in high school had boundaries, buddy, set up, and you could not get out of those boundaries. That's out of the will of God, folks. There's some things that we cannot do. And by the way, that course has got a starting line and a finish line. You know what old Paul said? Paul said, "I've finished
my course. Woo! I've crossed the finish line. I've run the race. I've kept the faith. Paul was simply saying, I stayed in the will of God. I continued like Daniel. I found what God wanted me to do, where God wanted me to do it, and I just plugged along there and crossed the finish line. Now, don't be looking for a rainbow, the silver line. Don't be looking for greener pastures on the other side. I'm be honest with you. Can I say this? If you think you can get better preaching somewhere else, you're fooled too. Because most of the men that you hear preaching somewhere else, you know what you hear? You hear their cream puff. You hear the best they've got, the best they've had for weeks. You don't hear them on a daily, weekly, 2 and 3 times a week basis. They are human, and they're going to dry run and air ball occasionally too, friends. I will say, thirdly, there's a cross. He said, lay aside every weight and the sin that doth so easily beset you. And then you'll have room to get that cross up there. How are you going to prove the will of God if you're not willing to bear your own cross? Deny yourself. Take up your cross. And come after Him. I'm going to tell you, we need to get pumped up for this meeting. I'm just honest. We need to come in here with a little more spirit in our heart. A little more determination, a little more readiness of mind. We need to get our hearts set on fire, get pumped up for the coming Jubilee. I'm telling you, we're going to have new preachers here and confident that have never been here before. We need to get stirred a little bit. Get that cross and get to carrying it. I'm talking about join hands, get hand in hand spiritually, and labor together for the good cause of the Lord Jesus. And one of these days, we'll finish our course and cross that finish line by the grace of God. Then I want to say, he said, for the joy that was set before him, there's a crown. But if you never carry the cross, you'll never win the crown. Listen to what Brother Paul said in 1 Corinthians 9:24. I'm closing. He said, know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize. So run that you may obtain. Must Jesus bear the cross alone and all the world go free? No, there's a cross for everyone, and there a cross for me, a consecrated cross I'll bear till death shall set me free, and then go home a crown to wear, for there's a crown for me. A lot of you don't even know what this one means, but let me sing it. Upon the crystal pavement down at Jesus' pierced feet, joyful I'll cast my golden crown and His dear name repeat. Jesus, 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 Jesus. Oh, precious cross, oh, glorious crown, oh, resurrection day, ye angels from the stars come down and bear my soul away. Let's stand together.